shall turn to the Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 8, and we will read from verse 5. Isaiah chapter 8, from verse 5. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, Forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in reason and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels, and go over all his banks, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. It's especially verses 9 and 10 that we would consider this evening with the Lord's help. Isaiah is encouraged. He's encouraged. It is true, he had just rebuked the people for refusing the waters of Shiloah. They had rejected the waters that go softly. That is the symbol of God's protection. They refused to seek protection from God himself. And instead of trusting in him, they had chosen a defense that they thought was greater, more impressive. Yes, a defense that was so great, Isaiah is now telling them, that it will be their ruin. The Assyrians that they trusted in would come and, yes, defeat the north that the people of Judah feared. They feared the north. But the Assyrians will not only conquer the north, they will conquer the south. They will come into Judah itself like an overflowing, inundating flood. But then Isaiah reminds himself, as we considered last time, that the land of Judah is Emmanuel's land. Thy land, yes, they will come into this land, but this is thy land, O Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is God with us. So yes, the enemy will come in like a flood, but they cannot entirely overrun and ruin us because this is Emmanuel's land. This is God's land and God's people. And so Isaiah takes courage from this title and this name, Emmanuel, that he has just invoked, just called upon, God with us. Isaiah takes courage. And he's emboldened now, so much that he turns his attention to the enemy. And he says, you enemy, you are trying to come into God's land, but you shall all be broken in pieces. Even though you take counsel together, you make plans to destroy God's people, it will come to nothing. Why? Because God is with us. And so he says, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. So from the name Emmanuel and the child who was called Emmanuel, Isaiah is emboldened to stand up against the enemy. He knows that the enemy will not prevail because God is with us. And so with the Lord's help this evening, we will notice two things that we find in these two verses, and that is, first of all, the enemy's counsel which comes to naught. The enemy's counsel which comes to naught. And secondly, the presence of God which is our security. The presence of God which is our security or safety. First of all, then, the enemy's counsel which comes to naught. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. He is speaking of the Assyrians, probably the Assyrian nation, and along with all the other nationalities or peoples of nations that composed their armies. So the Assyrians would have had many other nationalities, people of different lands, to form their army. So he says, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and all ye of far countries," he says. And so these words perhaps refer to Assyria and other nations, perhaps even beyond that, with reference to what is in the more distant future, which the enemies of the people of God would face these enemies as well. But really, the words embrace all the enemies of God's people. The people here, verse 9, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries." This applies to all the enemies of believers. And we're to apply these words to our own enemies. If we're God's people, then we have real spiritual foes, enemies to our souls. As we all know the familiar expression, the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is a trio, as it were, or an unholy trinity. That the world, the flesh, and the devil, the world and its allurements, the flesh, the sinful nature of all God's people, we all have this principle of sin still within us, and the devil, Satan, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and they all combine against God's people. They are enemies that, as we sang in Psalm 83, the enemies from all these different lands, Amalek and so on, they conspire. Lot's children, Moab, they conspire against the people of God. Just as at this particular point in history, the Assyrians and all of their armies made up of different nations, they would soon come and invade Judah. But Isaiah is saying, associate yourselves, gather together, all of you armies and all the nations that make up that compose the army, come together on friendly terms, associate, make agreements, make alliances, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Ye shall be broken in pieces. And so he is saying, do whatever you like by your alliances. You will not achieve what you desire. You will not accomplish your mission to destroy God's people. He says, gird yourselves. Prepare yourselves for war. Muster all your forces. Equip yourselves, but ye shall be broken in pieces. And he calls them to give ear. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye in far countries. God is speaking loud and clear to the nations. Gather together against God's people if that's what you want to do, but you will fail. You will all be destroyed. And he repeats this prediction. Ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye in far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. When something is repeated in Scripture, then it shows us the certainty of the prediction, or the certainty of the truth, or the certainty of the duty, or the command. And so the reality, the certainty, it surely will happen. This is being underlined. It doesn't make it more certain. When something is repeated, it doesn't make it more certain, because God has said it. It's certain. But when it's repeated, it causes the certainty of it to stand out. And so we're being presented with this truth that we can't miss. It surely will take place. So the enemy that tries to come against God's people, they surely will be destroyed, broken in pieces. And in verse 10, he continues to state what the enemy will do. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. They will consult with one another. They will make their plans. They will deliberate. They will put their heads together. They will take counsel. Surely they will succeed, right? They have the most intellectual persons. They have all the experts, captains, generals. They all have made their plans. Now they know what to do. It will succeed. It will come to fruition. They will prevail, surely. Surely not. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. It means it will come to nothing. It will not develop. Their plans will not come to fruition. They threaten God's people. They frighten God's people. But their counsel to ruin God's people will come to nothing. It will be like the wind, or a vapor, or a shadow that appears for a moment and is gone. Their counsel will come to naught, to nothing. Speak the word. Make the announcement. You have made your final decision. Make it known. Speak the word. It's in the books. It's ready to be implemented. Speak the word. It shall not stand, Isaiah says. So they make their plans, but their schemes will not succeed. And this is what the Assyrians would do, and they would boast about their military might and their military achievements, their conquests over the nations. They were boasting of their power. That's what was historians know that. The Assyrians boast, they brag. They probably make the numbers as large as possible. They brought in all these nations, or at least all of these people from these nations. Huge military achievements. So they're boasting of their power, but little do they know that they're in the hands of God. God is using the Assyrians for his own purposes. He's using them to chastise and correct God's people. In Isaiah chapter 10, just two chapters later on, we read again about the Assyrians. Verse 5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. God is saying that the Assyrians are in his hand. Verse 6, I will send him against an hypocritical nation. And who is that? Israel or Judah. A hypocritical nation. They say they're God's people, but look at their practices and their actions. That's hypocrisy. They're saying one thing and doing another. A hypocritical nation. And against the people of my wrath, they're God's people, but God is angry with them because they have forsaken him. The people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil. So the Assyrians will take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So the Assyrians will do so much in the way of attack and destruction. But it is in the purpose of God. God is holding the Assyrians in his hand to accomplish his purpose. Verse 7, howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. So the Assyrians don't realize that they're just the instruments in God's hand, like the handle of the axe and the hand of the strong man cutting down the tree. The axe head doesn't boast against the one who is handling it, but that's what the Assyrians were doing. But you see, after God has used the Assyrians to chastise and correct his people, then he will drive away the Assyrians and he will destroy them. In verse 12, as my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Assyria and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. And so on. So the context is that The Assyrians think that they will gather all the plunder and all the spoil, all these nations, even Judah itself and Jerusalem, but God is using the Assyrians to accomplish his purpose, to correct his people. Certainly Hezekiah was stirred up to prayer when he saw the Assyrians on his doorstep. And so let us go on to consider, secondly, the reason that God's people can be bold in the face of such approaching destruction, and that is the presence of God, which is our security. The presence of God, which is our security. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. How did Isaiah know that? How could he just say, you will come so close, you will make your plans, but it will come to nothing? How could he say that? Here's the Assyrians, such strong force and power, and they had conquered so many nations. How can Isaiah say, you will make your plans, but it will come to nothing? Because of this. God is with us. So take counsel, make your plans, speak to one another, give the announcement, it shall not stand, because this reason, God is with us. Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's how we can be courageous when the threat seems to loom large before us, because we know that God is with us. So Isaiah is taking comfort in this fact. He had called upon Emmanuel, thy land, O Emmanuel. This is thy land. Ah, Emmanuel, that gives me strength and hope and courage. So I know that the enemy cannot prevail against God's people because Emmanuel, God is with us. So the name Emmanuel would bring Isaiah back to the child who is the source of life and comfort. Going back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Ahaz didn't want a sign. Ahaz didn't want encouragement from God. God would give him a sign anyway. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The child that would be born to the virgin was the sign, the proof, that God was going to help and deliver his people. So in Isaiah's day, yes, the Messiah had not yet come, but they had the prophecy. They knew that he was going to come because God foretold it in his word. So they would think on the prophecy. They would think on the child, the son of the virgin. They would think of the proof of his divinity, that he is God, because of the miraculous birth, the son of a virgin. And they would think about this by the name that he was called, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And all of this would inspire them with hope and embolden them in the face of danger, so that they knew that they were safe. How do they know that the enemy would not prevail? How do they know that the enemy's plans would come to nothing? For God is with us. And that God is with them is confirmed because of the one who was called Emmanuel. They were looking to the holy child whose name would be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so we must all look to the holy child Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And what will his name be called? Is this the Emmanuel? Is this God with us? Just listen. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Yes, he is God with us. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this gives Isaiah hope and boldness so that he knows the enemy cannot succeed, even though he would cause such a fright. The enemy will even scare some of God's people. As Rabshakeh, the servant of the king of Assyria, sent a letter to Hezekiah, he threatened Jerusalem, challenging them, blaspheming God, saying, your God cannot save you. Did all these other gods save these lands? Well, what makes you think that God will save your land? But Hezekiah took the matter to the Lord in prayer. He spread out the letter. He prayed. He acknowledged, yes, Lord, it is true that the Assyrians have destroyed those nations, but their gods were only idols. But our God is the true God, who alone rules over all things, and he is the God that made heaven and earth. And therefore, we commit our need to the Lord. Our danger is known to the Lord. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And earlier Hezekiah had said to his soldiers, be strong and courageous. Well, aren't the Assyrians stronger than us? How can we be strong and courageous when their armies are so much greater than ours? And they have so much more battle equipment and all the weapons and more advanced than we are. How can we be strong and courageous? Here's the reason, as you all know, and you've heard it before, because of this. There is more with us than with him. With him, that is the Assyrians, is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. God is with us. With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. So, Isaiah is emboldened. Hezekiah was emboldened. And he got the word from Isaiah again that the Assyrians would be destroyed. Yes, 185,000 soldiers laying dead on the battlefield. Why? Because the king of Assyria was blaspheming God. But God was truly with his people. And it was proven how. It wasn't just in word, but it was indeed. It was an actual fact known to the world that God was with his people. Because the Assyrian king's armies was broken in pieces. They were all scattered about dead. Ye shall be broken in pieces, and they were. So that Isaiah says what God says, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And so we read that, behold, they were all dead corpses because of the angel of the Lord that went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And so God was with them. And it was proven to be so. God had made it clear that he is God with us. And that gave them boldness. And so if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus, remember, he is God with us. He is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. God manifest in the flesh. And when Jesus came, literally in the flesh, It was not only then God is with us in providence, God is with us in his power, but it was literally the case. Jesus was made flesh, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John the Apostle says. But he was still God. We beheld his glory. And we're to behold the glory of the Lord in Emmanuel, Jesus, who is God with us. Though He died and rose again. He's at the right hand of God in heaven. He is still near his people. He still cares for them. He still sympathizes with them. He's at the right hand of God, and that gives them boldness as well, knowing that he who was here is now there at the right hand of God, and he is their advocate with the Father. So they have boldness because he is constantly, continually making intercession for them. He's always representing them before the Father in heaven, and he is constantly providing to them forgiveness, peace of conscience, boldness at the throne of grace, because he is God with us, and he's also present by his Spirit. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So believers have boldness, just as Isaiah was given boldness when he said, thy land, O Emmanuel. He turned his attention to the enemy. Make your plans, it will come to naught. Ye shall all be broken in pieces. David says, ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. You'll all be broken down. You rise up against God's people. You will all be crumbling before God's people in his proper time, so that we have boldness in the face of enemies, and we have boldness because of Christ, as Paul says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator. He gives us access to the presence of God, God with us. Well, are you looking to Emmanuel? Am I looking to God with us? The psalmist says, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. God is the refuge of his people, and so they are safe because of his presence. He is near them. He is with them. He's among them. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, says Micah. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So that gives God's people not only boldness, but comfort and joy to know that God is with them. Is God with you? Well, are you with God? That's another way to put it. Are you on his side? Can you say, God is on my side, I shall not fear? I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress because I'm trusting in him. Well, if you can't say that, well, know this for sure, that he is offered to you as a refuge, offered to you as an asylum for safety for all poor, lost, ruined, and sinners who will but go to him and ask for admittance. Ask that you would enter in, and just enter. Because he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Only come to him. For he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And finally, let us pray. Let us all pray that God would be with us. As we already said before, the promises do not negate the need of prayer. Moses knew that. It's also a privilege to pray. God said to Moses in his dire need, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. But this did not make Moses lax. It stirred him up to prayer, and he prayed earnestly, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He was saying, I cannot go alone. If I go without the Lord, I will fail. Lord, keep me, for I trust in thee. Lord, be near me, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. Well, let us be praying earnestly that God would be with us. And though the enemy come in like a flood, though Satan roar like a lion, we will be bold in the face of all these threats if we are trusting in Emmanuel. The Lord has promised that none of the enemies will prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. This is how much he loves the church. He gave himself for it. He died for his people. And he cannot see the enemy attack his people without himself being stirred up to defend his people. He is near them. He surrounds them as a wall of fire. He is present to save them so that the world, the flesh, and the devil cannot overthrow God's people. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. God is with us. May he bless his word. Let us pray.